together to fight for what we love.
Holds a significant amount of privilege and power over other groups.
You're listening to
Consider the Alternative.
Consider the Alternative.
Consider the Alternative.
Consider the Alternative.
A CITR podcast.
Hi, I'm Dora, and you're listening to Sorry, No Memes Today, I Was Zucked, part of CITR's Consider the Alternative podcast. Memes have taken over the internet, so they are everywhere. I love memes, which really isn't a super controversial statement.
Hello?
Hi!
I am not doing anything. You're in England?
No, I'm in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
I realized that as I said that.
Meet Helena St. Terror and Joelle Blanchard. They're memers. They make memes and post them mostly to Instagram.
Online, I'm known as Helena St. Terror. For anyone who doesn't know, I make memes. My account on Instagram is LilPerk666. It used to be XLilPerkX, and my old account actually got deleted a few months ago. So I've had to start over.
My name is Joelle Bouchard. Started up my Instagram page, Namaste at Home Dad. Maybe like April of 2016, I've been making memes and skits and semi-related content ever since.
They've also both had their accounts shut down by Instagram without any warning.
And I've had posts removed a lot of times, so like, I felt pretty confident that they would sort of like give me a warning or something.
To this day, I still have no idea why my page got deleted.
But, so, what are memes?
How would you define what a meme is, if you had to?
If I had to define memes, I don't know. I mean, I guess the simplest definition to me is just like a variation of digital art, but it's really hard to have like a basic definition of what a meme is.
The technical definition of Richard Dawkins.
Richard Dawkins is a biologist from the 80s.
Definition is an idea that evolved as it's passed from person to person. So Harambe was a meme. Moth loves lamp, that's a meme. Somebody creating an original concept that is a spin of a concept that already exists. Because like, it feels like when you see a real like meme at this point, it's like the guy at the bar who's quoting Anchorman. I think the only way to do it at this point and have it still seem fresh or good if it's something super topical. Like today there will be memes about the Met Gala. That's a technical meme because it's evolving a concept that is understood already. You know, it's familiar, it's somebody's just making a fresh take on it, and it's not dated and obnoxious.
I've always found memes capable of being very abstract, but also capable of being very formulaic. It's kind of like the truest form of new media art. New media art only can exist really with having people interact with it, you know? And I think that the big driving thing about memes is that they are meant to spark interactions between people or to be utilized even as a tool for interacting with other people. I don't know. I mean, I guess the best way to define memes is art that has the potential to have real world application or functionality, but doesn't necessarily have to be limited to that, you know? Because I feel like it can be so many different things. One of the big distinguishing factors in memes is that they tend to drive the point home a lot more blatantly a lot of the time. But again, like, the thing with memes is that it's anything that you can come up with to describe how they're structured or what they are, it's like there's always like exceptions to that.
Okay, so we have a few basic definitions. Memes, one, are an idea that evolves as it's passed from person to person. Two, have recognizable formats. Three, need to be interacted with. Four, are super hard to define. And five, are essentially a little overdone. The crux of memes is also their relatability. Any and everyone can look at a meme and understand or apply whatever there is to some reference in their life. Memes are super efficient communication because they rely on the person consuming them to have some sort of social, cultural, political, or experiential context that adds dimension to the usually brief message in the image.
People get lost in translation. Why not? You're looking at words. It's like 95% of communication is in body language, tone, and whatever else. So when you're just being presented with words and images, like, it's pretty reasonable that people get confused, especially if they don't know the voice. Sorry, there's like two pigeons fucking in front of me, so I got distracted.
But they can also be super bad at communicating because of everything Joelle just said, except the thing about the pigeons. And if someone doesn't have the right context, memes can be totally unintelligible. This has gotten memers into some hot water. Joelle told me about a time she had a meme taken down that was from the point of view of an incel, or involuntary celibate, that said all women are whores. The point of the meme was to both point attention to the fact that this kind of thinking is happening all the time, but also dramatizing it to a literally laughable degree. But sometimes this logic, that the person consuming the meme just doesn't get it, is used to justify seriously racist, sexist, ableist, transphobic, homophobic, and otherwise harmful content. But okay, both rewind and fast forward. Right now, it's 2019. I was born in 1996, so as of this moment, I, Dora, am 23 years old. The World Wide Web's been around since 1990, which makes it 29. Because I was an infant, I don't remember that classic internet experience. I don't really remember dial-up. Even though I wasn't really in it, I do know that the internet was a very different place than what we're used to now. It was a fresh landscape that could be anything you wanted or needed it to be. A place where you could find out anything about anything or anyone and share anything with anyone, and no one really had a concept of the infinite capacity of the internet and the dangers of the accessibility of all that information. The internet was a total free-for-all, and it kind of still is.
I'm like 31, so I remember when internet forums were becoming a thing and internet communities and when memes were first kind of becoming a thing. I mean, there's so much shit to keep up with, and I'll be honest, like, I was really, really staunchly opposed to YouTube for many years. I feel like I missed a lot of the, like, Vine and YouTube memes, but memes have always been kind of in my life.
Memes really started circulating on the internet on sites like 4chan and 9gag, and were super rudimentary. There were regular characters, a family of derps and derpettes, who were essentially stick figures who acted out simple jokes, usually at the expense of women, people of color, queer people, trans people, and disabled people. As the internet became more accessible and its capacity grew, so did the complexity of what people posted. Vines and YouTube memes became very popular, and Facebook groups blew up. Both LilPerk666 and Namaste at Home Dad started as admins of Facebook meme groups before getting started on Instagram. Helena and Joelle are both part of the niche meme community versus normie or mainstream memes.
There's a bunch of different meme communities, but there is a general like meme community. The only major division, and there's still a lot of connections between the two, is more of like the mainstream normie meme pages versus the niche. I'm sorry. I don't know why. I just want to say niche instead of niche all the time, even though I know it's niche. But yeah, there's only a real division between like the niche meme community and the mainstream meme community. But we all kind of like have each other back, and we're always in constant conversation. I don't really make memes. I follow the same format that memes are made in. Honestly, I think most people who make memes, heavy quotation marks, most people who do what I do are also straying away from liking. They're kind of just like a one-panel comic, which I feel like it's not that either because I'm not illustrating them. I make like a one-panel collage-styled comic. Even just in the past 3 years, people have gotten a lot better at navigating to even the weird parts of the internet. It's hard to find a good, weird image that will resonate with people that everyone hasn't seen. I don't want to put something out there that already exists. I don't want to contribute to this. You're laughing because you know this is supposed to be funny. Like, I don't want to do that. Like, I want to make people think and, like, introduce new things to people's lives. And don't get me wrong, a lot of my favorite memes are just, like, Twitter format, super easy to make memes. It doesn't have to be super complex to be funny.
You're almost definitely familiar with normie memes. Think of classic memes, Caveman SpongeBob, Enlightened Brame, stuff like that. They're pretty straightforward. The image is usually paired with text to communicate a shared experience. You look at it and you get it. They are the Anchorman quotes of memes. Niche memes are typically genre-defying, usually foregoing formats altogether or warping them until they're almost unrecognizable. There can be images, but there doesn't have to be, and the same goes for text. The niche meme community is a network of accounts that is part of this visual trend, but also share leftist and radical leftist politics. If you go on these accounts, you'll see a lot of talk about mental health, socialism, anti-ICE organization, cop-hating, and general advocacy. A lot of these accounts are run by people who are part of marginalized groups. People of color, trans people, queer people, women, people with disabilities, and poor people are the people at the front of this movement.
Everything's politics at this point, but I think that my work used to be a lot more overtly political, where oftentimes it was just attaching an aesthetic to, like, popular slogans that were used by activists and stuff like that, or, like, really simplifying an argument that I felt like needed to be broadcast to the world. Started my page, Genderqueer Gengar, and then I have another page that's just called That Gay Shit, are both centered around my sexuality and gender identity, but not just mine, but the experiences of other people that have similar experiences or identities or that are exploring these things about themselves. And I made those at a time when I was really trying to explore and also, like, validate my own sexuality and gender identity. And so I felt like I had to be a lot louder with those memes. And I think that those are the specifically the kinds of things that I've seen, like, people use in, like, I guess you call it Facebook group discourse or whatever. Those are the kinds of things I see people, like, almost weaponizing against far right-wing people or transphobes and TERFs and homophobes and, like, all that kind of shit. I think that that's fucking awesome, you know? For a while, I really did try to intentionally make memes that were more rhetoric-based for the sake of having them have some utility or people that are of similar identities as me.
If you have that big of a platform and you have people listening to things that you're saying, they are being influenced by you. I try to be mindful of that and responsible.
These are also the accounts that are overwhelmingly getting deleted without any warning or communication. Just poof.
I tried to the best of my ability to get it back, and I don't know, I think I kind of was freaking out because, as much as I hate to admit it, my following and, like, my social media presence and stuff is a big part of just what I use to, like, survive on a daily basis sometimes, you know what I mean? Be it financial reasons or, like, mental health reasons or whatever. So I felt the need to keep trying to get it back. I was fortunate enough that, like, my Instagram got deleted, but, like, a lot of the people that I've met through making memes, I have friends that have bigger accounts, people that I, like, either know on Facebook or that I, like, text with or talk on the phone with. It's people that I actually would consider friends. So the account itself was, it wasn't like the end of the world. I felt very confident that I could get back up. And I think within the first few weeks, I managed to get back to, like, 5,000 followers. It gave me, like, a lot of optimism for the situation. I had actually just hit 13,000 followers, like, the day before I was deleted. I broke 13K. I was super stoked about it. 13's one of my favorite numbers. And I was just really happy because that was a big goal for me. So, yeah.
Because there really is, like, nothing. This, like, there's nothing ensuring our security. Like, when I got my page deleted, my heart turned cold. It was like everything I worked for.
Gone. Thanks for listening to part one of Sorry, No Memes Today, I Was Zucked, part of CITR's Consider the Alternative podcast. This episode was written and produced by me, Dora Duber. The music used was Morning Mood 8-Bit by Biddy Duck on YouTube and Drink 8 Cups of Water a Day, Thank You for Your Time on Earth, James's Suicide Note in Alpha Getty, Worried I Shit Myself in VGH, Mystery Graphics Alpha Quadrant, Night Pro, and If I Don't Get the Respect I Deserve, So Help Me God by Gil Galetsky's project Lord Fuckerman, who was generous enough to let me use their meme level tunes. Thank you, thank you, thank you to all of the amazing memers I got to talk to at Baba Yaga Biscuits, at abolition.memes, at laughing quietly to myself, at renaissance__man, at bubblepunk from at unionized memes, at lilperk666, and at namaste.at.home.dad. Thank you for sharing your stories with me, and everyone listening should follow these accounts and so many more. Thank you, Alex DeBoer, for your generous editorial guidance, and Clara for introducing me to memes and making me give a shit.